ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 10 द बैटल बिटवीन द डेमिगॉड्स एंड डीमंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 42। सतान आपततः सक्रस तद्भिः शीघ्र विक्रमः छिच्छेद निशितैर् भलैर् असंप्राप्तान् हसन् इव। ट्रांसलेशन। Before Bali Maharaj's arrows could reach him, Indra, king of heaven, who is expert in dealing with arrows, smiled and counteracted the arrows with arrows of another type, known as Bhala, which were extremely sharp. Text 43. When Bali Maharaj saw the expert military activities of Indra, he could not restrain his anger. Thus he took up another weapon, known as Shakti, which blazed like a great firebrand. But Indra cut that weapon to pieces while it was still in Bali's hand. Text 44. Thereafter, one by one, Bali Maharaj used a lance, prasa, tomara, ristis, and other weapons. But whatever weapons he took up, Indra immediately cut them to pieces. My dear king, Bali Maharaj then disappeared and restored to demoniac illusion. A giant mountain generated from illusion then appeared above the heads of the demigod soldiers. Text 46. From the mountain fell trees blazing in forest fire. Chips of stone with sharp edges like picks also fell and smashed the heads of the demigod soldiers. Text 47. Scorpions, large snakes, and many other poisonous animals, as well as lions, tigers, boars, and great elephants, all began falling upon the demigod soldiers, crushing everything. O my king, many hundreds of male and female carnivorous demons, completely naked and carrying tridents in their hands, then appeared, crying the slogans, "Cut them to pieces, pierce them." Text 49. Fierce clouds, harassed by strong winds, then appeared in the sky, rumbling very gravely with the sound of thunder. They began to shower live coals. Text 50. A great devastating fire created by Bali Maharaj began burning all the soldiers of the demigods. This fire, accompanied by blasting winds, seemed as terrible as Samvartaka fire, which appears at the time of dissolution. Text 51. Thereafter, whirlpools and sea waves, agitated by fierce blasts of wind, appeared everywhere, before everyone's vision in a furious flood. While this magical atmosphere in the fight was being created by the invisible demons who were expert in such illusion, the soldiers of the demigods became morose. Text 53. O king, when the demigods could not find no way to counteract the activities of the demons, they wholeheartedly meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the universe, who then immediately appeared. Text 54. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose eyes resemble the petals of a newly blossomed lotus, sat on the back of Garuda, spreading his lotus feet over Garuda's shoulders. Dressed in yellow, decorated by Kaustubha gem and the goddess of fortune, and wearing an invaluable helmet and earrings, the Supreme Lord, holding various weapons in his 8 hands, became visible to the demigods. Text 55. As the dangers of a dream cease when the dreamer awakens, the illusions created by the jugglery of demons were vanquished by the transcendental prowess of Supreme Personality of Godhead as soon as it entered the battlefield. Indeed, simply by remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from all dangers. Text 56. O king, when the demon Kalanemi, who was carried by a lion, saw that Supreme Personality of Godhead carried by Garuda was on the battlefield, the demon immediately took his trident, hurled it, and discharged it at Garuda's head. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the master of the three worlds, immediately caught the trident, and with the very same weapon, he killed the enemy, Kalanemi, along with his carrier, the lion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, Srila Madhavacharya says, Kalanemi and all other demons were killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. And when Sukracharya, their spiritual master, brought them back to life, they were again killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 57 ends this chapter, so I'll just read the last para, last translation. Thereafter, two very powerful demons named Mali and Sumali were killed by the Supreme Lord, who severed their heads with his disc. Then Malyavan, another demon, attacked the Lord. With his sharp club, the demon, who was roaring like a lion, attacked Garuda, the lord of the birds, who were born from eggs. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, used his disc to cut off the head of that enemy also. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Battle Between the Demigods and the Demons. Hare Krishna. So this chapter ends here, and the Lord appears to annihilate all the demons. Basically, it sounds like a movie story where the villain is attacking many people simultaneously, torturing, tormenting in different ways, and at the nick of the time, the hero appears and finishes off everyone. So there is always a battle between demonic and divine natures in this creation. We have been seeing it. And especially in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described how the demons and demigods fought. The Lord always promises, as He promises in Bhagavad Gita, that whenever there is a decline in religiosity and uprise of irreligiosity, He promises to appear and annihilate the duskrita, or demoniac. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyotanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamiham. That I appear to destroy the demoniac qualities, demoniac people. So, in a nice chapter in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna describes what are these divine and demoniac natures in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he first describes the devotee qualities, divine qualities, qualities of devotees, like the demigods whom he protected here. And then he describes the quality of demoniac. So the Lord promises that he appears whenever there is a decline in divine qualities, and to testify or to prove his words, to keep his words. So in this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, we see again and again he appears and protects the devotees. So, why does the Lord do so? Why does He take sides of people endowed with the divine qualities? Why not with the demons? What is wrong with that? So, to understand that, we'll just try to briefly see what are the demoniac qualities and what are the divine qualities from the Bhagavad Gita, in the light of Bhagavad Gita. So, although Lord Krishna spoke about the divine qualities first, I would like to speak first on demoniac qualities because we can relate quickly. all the demoniac qualities are contained, or it can be summarized, technically put in 6 different anarthas. All of us know it. Now, the 6 anarthas are kama, krodha, lobha, moha, and matsar. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. These qualities represent demoniac qualities. And why they are bad? Actually, there is a need to explain why they are bad nowadays. So I'll try to speak a little bit. Kama means enjoy. Enjoy selfishly, basically. Lust means to enjoy selfishly. Enjoying is not bad, but when enjoyment is selfish, then there is problem. His Holiness Bhakti Purushottama Swami Maharaj, he was speaking to us, I think, in Mayapur once. And he was speaking a very simple example of how these qualities are in practically everyone in this Kali Yuga. He was saying in the childhood, in places like Orissa and North India, like few days back we celebrated this Basant Panchami, Saraswati Puja. On that day, the students, the kids in the house, they get new dresses. New dress is purchased for them and it is offered to Saraswati. Put some turmeric and offer to Saraswati. And then the kids wears them, pays obeisance to Saraswati, pays obeisance to the parents. Then after wearing that dress, it's not that he sits in front of Saraswati and worships him all day long. Because that's why he got the dress, supposed to worship Saraswati. But as soon as he wears the dress, he or she, immediately they go out of the house, so that people can see them wearing new dress. And when people see them and appreciate, so nice shirt or nice pant, whatever, then they feel happy. Otherwise, wearing the dress itself doesn't make one, that is some happiness, but the real happiness comes when people appreciate outside. And he said that especially when a person sees our dress and burns in envy, that this guy got a better dress than mine. When a person feels envious that this guy has got a better dress than me, that time the person wears that dress, he feels more happy. Because this guy is burning in envy. So this is the standard of happiness that burns from demoniac nature. Actually, he elaborates a nice story in this regard. I'll just speak quickly. that there was a man, certain man, he went to forest to perform some tapasya, some kind of penances, to acquire some siddhis, the tantric things. He performed some tantric rites and gained control over spirits. They call betal. Spirits. The story is there, and you know, comes in our storybooks. Yeah. So this guy actually got control over these. Tantric rites are actually authentic. He got the control over these spirits, and through the spirit, he could fulfill his desires. So he said, "Will you fulfill my desires?" The spirit said, "Yes, I will fulfill your desires." And as soon as he heard that, he became very happy. But then spirit said, "Whatever you get, you never will get double." He could not listen to that because he was already happy, listening that he's going to fulfill my desires. So he didn't bother about that. He just went to home. It was night time. Tantric rites are performed in the night time. So he returned home in night. And he was about to take rest. Then thought, my house is a small place. Let me have a big two-story building. And very nice, bedroom with air conditioning, things like that. And as soon as he desired, the spirit fulfilled that. He had a nice house. He was just resting in a very nice bedroom. He went to sleep. But next morning when he got up, he didn't stay in that room anymore. He went outside so that he wanted to see how people appreciate his house. But when he went outside, he saw his neighbors had a four-story building. So instead of becoming happy, he became sad. That is the nature of envy. Although he got a two-story building, when he saw a four-story building, he became unhappy. Again went back to home. And feeling, what should I do? What should I do? Then said, okay, let there be a nice Mercedes-Benz car. And the car was there. And he went outside. He saw two cars were parked in front of his neighbor's house. He became more miserable. Again, come back home. Now he was thinking very hard. Then he found one idea. His face lit up. What was the idea? He just prayed to that Betal, let my left eye become blind. And he lost his left eye. And immediately went outside to see the right eye, and he saw what? His neighbors lost both the eyes. And now he started becoming happy. This is the nature of demoniac qualities. Then he went inside again. He said, let my left leg be go. Left leg goes. He comes with a crutch to see outside. He sees his neighbors lost both the right eye. So in this way, demoniac qualities, not only it's a very strange kind of happiness, but it becomes cause of one's own destruction. He was destroying himself. So, these six anarthas we have to deal and get rid of. Because although they seem to promise kind of happiness, they are actually coming out of this envy, pride, lust, which can never give us happiness or satisfaction in life. So Krishna explains, kamesa krodesa rajaguna samudbhava, that this lust is the cause of all problems and miseries in this world. When one desire to enjoy selfishly, there may be some enjoyment, but that selfish desire causes various problems. When the selfish desire is not fulfilled, he becomes very angry. And when a person is angry, that anger burns him. And therefore he is unhappy. He cannot be happy when he is angry. And when the selfish desire is fulfilled, he becomes more greedy. And the characteristic of greed is that one remains always dissatisfied. No matter how much he has, he wants more and more and more. Therefore he is always dissatisfied. And in that state of dissatisfaction, he cannot experience happiness. Therefore he suffers. And then moha or illusion covers up all the situation, kind of illusion, where one feels that despite all these anarthas he is happy. And he tries to maintain that miserable situation. That is called affection or moha. And then the pride is there because he has so much. And when he is not there, he is envious of others. Envy is there. So in this way, the six anarthas torments a person in this world if he tries to hold on to them in his heart. So therefore, one has to cultivate the divine qualities. The qualities of devotees are divine qualities that Lord explains very nicely in Gita. I'll just briefly speak on them. Because if we hear these qualities again and again, then we'll try to develop them. We'll appreciate them. More we hear about it, then we'll be encouraged to practice them, maintain these qualities. And in this way, we can help other to also develop these qualities. So, enjoying is not bad, as I said, because every living entity by nature wants to enjoy. Anandamaya abhyasat. By nature, we want to be happy. We want to enjoy. But not selfishly. That is called something called selfless enjoyment, where one sacrifices, and their sacrifice experiences happiness and pleasure. Just like a mother. Mother sacrifices for the child. And because of that sacrifice, she feels happiness. She experiences happiness. I've heard many ladies, they give up their careers. They are very educated sometimes. They become like some, but they choose, they prefer, and it is glorious, to give up that career just to look after the children, grow them nicely. And that is something glorious. So that sacrifice or selflessness also endows a person with a happiness which lasts longer. As long as the child is there, as long as one lives, he is or she is happy with whatever sacrifices one is doing. So here in this particular chapter in Gita, Divine and Demonic Nature, chapter 16, the Lord explains these 27 qualities of Vaishnavas or devotees. And the first is fearlessness. This is important because devotees are fearless. Because they have taken shelter of the Lord, they have nothing to feel afraid about. And the purification of one's existence. They because this anarthas has to be continuously cleaned. This lust, anger, greed, pride. Unless we continuously clean, they get accumulated. Just like you leave a room for a certain time, the dirt automatically accumulates. So therefore, a devotee is very careful in purifying his own existence. Cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Knowledge means like Vedas injuncts. Injunction is there in Vedas. Tamosima Jyotirgama. Get out of darkness, come to light. Jyotirgama. Because in knowledge we can see things clearly, what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, and accordingly you can choose. Therefore knowledge is very important. Charity, one has to give charity, that is sacrifice. Self-control, one should be always able to control the self, not indulge. One should not indulge in so-called material happiness. Performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, very important. Austerity, tapasya. Austerity is important because it gives determination to one's self. With austerity, one gains determination to reach the destination. Simplicity keeps oneself straightforward. One remains straightforward as if he's simple. And there is no complications. Non-violence, ahimsa. Like His Holiness Radhakrishna Swami, last time he was speaking here, he said that the principle of non-violence is para dukhe dukhi. That is the principle. That unless we have compassion for others, our non-violence has no meaning. It is simply mechanical and it won't last long. Like I have heard, many people becomes vegetarian, give up meat eating, and after some time they again adopt it back. Because that non-violence is not based on the principles which is para dukhe dukhi. Para dukhe dukhi means there is a compassion, feeling of compassion when you see somebody suffering. If that compassion is there, then we'll refrain from violence. So, if somebody is trying to be peaceful, non-violent, how can he or she tolerate seeing a restless animal being killed just for enjoyment? Like I was coming from Wada one day, we're coming back to Mumbai very early in the morning, and at least 3 cart load of chickens were carried to Bombay. That they're going in that, in that cart, all these chickens are packed. They're just simply sitting there, not knowing where they're going to, where they'll land up. Millions of them, they get slaughtered every day. So this is lack of this compassion. Truthfulness. One has to be truthful. Otherwise, one will tend to cheat. There will be cheating propensity without truthfulness. Freedom from anger. Renunciation. Tranquility. Aversion to fault finding. This is another nice point. Aversion to fault finding. Devotees doesn't focus on the faults. They avers that and try to focus on the positive things. Thereby, they can encourage others to come to Krishna. Compassion for all living entities. Freedom from covetousness. Covetousness means, covet means to desire, to enjoy something that belongs to another person. Like Chanaka Pandit says, Matruvat Varadaresu, that one should see every other's woman as his one wife. One's mother. Mother. Matruvat Paradaresu. And especially for brahmacharis, every woman is mother. So therefore, this quality is very important. Gentleness. Prabhupada says, sadhus are the most gentlemen. Modesty. Steady in determination. They are always steady in determination. They are not one who gives up just because certain thing happens, or certain issues comes up, or so many things happen in the world. But devotee is always determined to serve the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. Vigor, he is enthusiastic. Normally when one comes to spiritual life, we see there is a lack of enthusiasm because suddenly he has enthusiasm to enjoy this world, and suddenly somebody is told not to enjoy, then enthusiasm for some time it goes down. But as the knowledge and all these qualities develop, the enthusiasm to serve also gains. So devotees are not lazy, they are enthusiastic. Forgiveness is another quality. Fortitude means courage in difficult situation, to show courage in different difficult situation. Cleanliness, freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. So Lord Krishna says actually, these are bhavanti sampadam devim. So these are the wealth of people endowed with divine qualities. So, whenever these divine qualities are there, the Lord is willing to come and protect. It is explained in the it's explained by devotees that how in Satya Yogas, these demons and demigods or devotees of the Lord were living in different planets. The fight would be between different planetary systems. But in Treta Yoga, they lived in the same planet. Like Lord Ramchandra was in Ayodhya and Dandakaranya, whereas Ravana was living in Sri Lanka, separated by ocean, another place. And in Dwapara Yuga, they lived in the same country, like Krishna and Balram and Kamsa. The same, two different villages, that's all. And it's explained in Kali Yuga, these two nature lives in the same person. These divine qualities, demonic qualities. But the Lord always explains, if there is a divine quality, He will come and protect it. And if there is a demoniac qualities, He will destroy. So how does He going to do it in Kali Yuga? Because if He has to destroy, then the person will be killed. And the demoniac qualities and divine qualities both will be gone. In one sense, speaking it grossly. So the Lord appears in this age also, but with a different way and means to deal with the demoniac qualities. We have all seen these demoniac qualities are in us. And like I was giving the example, when we were kids, we didn't know, but it was there. We were going out just to be appreciated and enjoy when others is owner's pride, neighbor's envy. What is that? Neighbor's envy, owner's pride. When neighbor is envious, the owner becomes proud, and that proud gives him happiness, intoxications. So, how the Lord is going to deal with it? So, today is a very auspicious day of appearance of Srila Advaita Acharya, one of the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And it is explained, actually, just before that I would like to say one more point, that Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, that Krishna has appeared in the form of His holy name in this age of Kali to destroy these demoniac qualities. So when you chant Hare Krishna, it is explained in the Upanishad that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti sodasaka namnam, Kali Kalmasa Nasanam, Kalmasa, all these demoniac qualities, Kalmasa, the dirtiness, the six anarthas, we can cleanse these anarthas with the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. There is no other way. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyatha. That there is no other way, no other means by which we can deal with this anarthas in the heart. So, by understanding that demonic qualities actually destroys us, actually makes us suffer all the more, we should try to understand how to get rid of it. And the sastras, the sadhus, by their infinite mercy, they gives us this holy name by which we can actually cleanse our heart from these anarthas. So Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. But the Lord not only comes as the holy name, but He also comes as His own devotee to give us that holy name to us. Because everybody is so dull in this world, if you just tell them chant Hare Krishna, it's very difficult to accept it. People say, just by chanting Hare Krishna, what will happen? I rather do something practical. But this is most practical because it develops a very nice nature in our heart by which our activities will be clean and we can experience transcendence. Like His Holiness Radhananda Swami was there once in Delhi, and he was coming from Delhi to Mumbai, and in the same flight one of our political leader was there. I think it was Menaka Gandhi. She is an animal rightist, what they call? PETA. Environmental. PETA chairman or whatever, chairperson. So she was telling, what you Hare Krishnas are doing? We are trying to protect the animals, we are trying to protect the environment. What is your contribution? Since Maharaj was challenged, and kind of challenged, she thought Maharaj has no answer. But Maharaj very humbly, quietly said, You see, you are trying to clean the outside, you are trying to clean the inside. If the inside is clean, the heart is clean, then automatically everything outside will also be clean. So that is very, that is more powerful. Cleaning our own heart is more powerful than just keeping things superficially clean outside. So, today's Advaita Acharya is a very, very auspicious day. Actually, I'm unqualified to speak anything about Advaita Acharya, Supreme Lord. Because to the extent we are troubled by these anarthas, to that extent we cannot see the Supreme Lord or appreciate His glories or experience His glories and explain it also. So I am utterly actually disqualified to speak, but because the instruction is there and I am very hopeful that all of you will be giving your permissions and blessings by which I will try to speak something. So, first of all, Kali Yuga, as I said, the Krishna is said three yogi, or he appears in three yoga, that is explained. Like here in the Satya Yoga, he appears and annihilates the demons. So it is explained in Kali Yuga, the Lord doesn't appear at all. But he promises in Gita that he is going to appear wherever there is a discrepancies, wherever there is a rise of a religion. And surely he does, but does in a different way. And that is basically starts with Advaita Acharya's request. The Lord is called in Kali Yuga Channa Avatar. It is explained, anybody can claim that he is God or she is God, whatever God is. But to become God and take the responsibility is a big deal. To take the responsibilities of all the demoniac people and actually correct them is something very huge. So many people are claiming they are a God in nowadays. And they are claiming that you can also be God. But do they willing to take the responsibility? It's not easy. It's not easy. And Srila Prabhupada says, one who is, if somebody is God, then why he came under illusion, first of all? God can never come under illusion, because illusion is under always his control. So these simple things can make us understand that God is not a chief thing which anybody can claim to become. So how do we know somebody is God? We know God from the pages of the scriptures and from the people who are self-realized. They can tell who is God. Sadhus can tell who is God, because they have realized God. So the Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, three things we have to refer always. We know this thing. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Channa avatar. He is Krishna himself, but appeared in a disguise. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sangapanga Parshadam Yajnayin Sankirtane Pahari Yajatihi Sumedasa. That Krishna Varnam, that means just like Krishna says in Gita, Chatur Varnam Mayar Shrishtam Guna Karma Vyajana, that Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, four Varnas he creates. Four Varna. But the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appears, what is his Varna? His Varna is Krishna, that is Vishnu. Krishna Varna. But his color is not Krishna, not black is. He is coming as golden, golden avatar, Gauranga. So, the Lord appears in a role of devotee so that he can preach how to chant Hare Krishna, so that we can destroy the anarthas in our heart. And as we accept the process with faith, so nowadays these things are very common. There is lack of faith, people are always doubting. And on the top of that, there are many people who have misled people in the name of spirituality. There are so many bogus gurus, bogus sadhus, bogus gods. So all these things combined together increases the faithlessness of people in this world. in spirituality. But then the Lord is merciful. One who is genuinely aspiring, one who is trying to cultivate these divine qualities, yajatihi sumedhasa, one who is endowed with good intelligence, keeping faith in the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then one is able to see who is God and aspires to become his servant. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, he descends out of compassion because when these anarthas are there, one suffers and that creates compassion in the Lord's heart. Radhika Balla Prabhu was telling very nicely one day that enjoyments always leads to suffering. Selfish enjoyment, we have already explained, it leads to suffering. Nevertheless, krodha and greed, anger and all these things. So selfish enjoyment leads to miserable situation. And he was saying, even selfless enjoyment also leads to miserable situation. What is that miserable situation? One feels compassion. One feels so sorry when he sees somebody else is suffering. That is also a kind of suffering. Para dukhe dukhi. So, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he is the storehouse, he is the reservoir of all these divine qualities. Mercy is full in him. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu. All these divine qualities are infinitely present inside the Supreme Lord. So when he feels compassion, that compassion is also supreme. Unlimited compassion. And with that mode of compassion, he descends as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in disguise. Prabhupada explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that all these lords did not come in their full manifestations, because if they were to come in full manifestations, then people would have become more averse to them. That envy would have been increased. They would have become more and more impersonal. Things like that, Prabhupada explains. Because this situation is very bad. Just like a king, when he wants to help these citizens, he goes to check out what is the situation, he goes in disguise. It doesn't go. Suppose somebody is suffering and he goes in the full attire, then either they will hide from the king the situation, or the king will not be able to appreciate. So he comes as one of them, just to check it out. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes as disguise, Channa Avatar. That is one of the causes. There are many reasons why he appears. But before that, Advaita Acharya, whom the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains as the incarnation of Mahavishnu himself, he appears. Being the Supreme Lord, he has that compassion. He appears and he wants to help the people of this age. And I'll just read a few verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita describing this glorious pastimes. We have little time, so I'll request all of you to cooperate and be a little patient, and we'll try to describe the glories. This is called the Glories of Sri Advaita Acharya, Krishnath Kaviraj Goswami, who is actually writing this literature describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, who is a thorough, honest sadhu. He is describing his pastimes. He says, Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, Advaita means non-different from Hari. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. So, he is called Advaita because he is non-different from Hari, Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu. And he is called Acharya because he teaches, he propagates the cult of devotion. Acharya is teacher, Prabhupada says, who teaches the world how to serve the Supreme Lord in devotion. Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Ordinary living beings cannot understand. But those who are endowed with good intelligence, they will be able to appreciate. I'll just read from chosen verses. It's explained that Sri Advaita, who is a reservoir of virtues, is the main limb of Mahavishnu. His full name is Advaita, for he is identical in all respects with that Lord. Advaita means non-different, without second. Dvaita means two. He is without second. Advaita. He is identical. He has formerly created all the universes. Now he descended to introduce the path of bhakti. He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna bhakti. He explained the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Prabhupada writes a nice purport. I'll just quickly read. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu is an incarnation of Vishnu, for the welfare of the conditioned souls, he manifested himself as the servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And throughout all his activities, he showed himself to be an eternal servitor. So although he is God himself, in his activities, he showed himself to be an eternal servitor, servant. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda also manifested the same principle. Although they also belong to the category of Vishnu, if Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu had exhibited their all-powerful Vishnu potencies within this material world, people would have become greater impersonalists, monists and self-worshippers. Then they had already become under the spell of this age, Kali Yuga. Quarrel and hypocrisy. Because there is hypocrisy, there is quarrel. This thing will increase all the more. Therefore, the personality of Godhead and his different incarnations and forms played the parts of devotees to instruct the conditioned soul how to approach the transcendental stage of devotional service. Advaita Acharya is specially intended to teach the conditioned souls about devotional service. The word Acharya means teacher. The special function of such a teacher is to make people Krishna conscious. A bona fide teacher, following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya, has no other business than to spread the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The real qualification of an Acharya is that he presents himself as a servant of the Supreme. Such a bona fide Acharya can never support the demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. It is the main business of an Acharya to defy such impostors posing as God before the innocent public. So since Advaita Acharya has no other occupation than to teach devotional service, his name is Advaita Acharya. He worshipped Krishna with tulasi leaves and water of Ganges and called for him in a loud voice. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on earth accompanied by his personal associates. So, it was Advaita Acharya who invited Krishna to appear as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada says at one place, because Advaita Acharya himself is Vishnu category, therefore he could call Krishna, because he has that qualification. Not anybody can call Krishna to come and appear, and he will appear. There has to be qualification. Vishnu, Mahavishnu, because Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, he could call him. And we can see, because the Lord is Triyogi, it's not a kind of incarnation, he descends. He just appears because somebody is calling him. He just appears. It is through him that Lord Chaitanya spread the Sankirtan movement, and through him that he delivered the world. And in another verse it is explained, so there is two things. He is Mahavishnu himself, but takes the role of devotee to teach devotional service. He is Acharya. And an Acharya also, what is his feelings? It is explained. Sri Advaita Acharya considers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his master. He thinks himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada writes a very nice purport to this verse, saying how service to the Supreme Lord with love and devotion is actually the greatest thing one can experience. He glorifies devotional process of devotional service and explains that how throughout the history of the creation, different devotees always are eager to serve the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Always eager to serve the Lord. He gives many examples. Lord Shiva, he gives example of Narada, he gives example of Lakshmi herself, who resides at the heart of the Supreme, chest of the Supreme Lord. She also wants to serve the Lord. Why they want to serve the Lord? Because in serving the Lord, one experiences the sweetest of ecstasies. Like we try to serve so many people in this world. And there is an experience of happiness. But that happiness becomes maximum when you serve the Supreme Lord. So therefore, besides, whenever you see somebody is a very good man, good person, somebody is a very good person, we like to serve him, isn't it? We don't like to serve a thief, for example. We like to serve sadhus. Those are good people. Why should we serve thief? We should try to punish the thief so that he becomes a good man, then we serve him. So, the Supreme Lord is endowed with all the best qualities, the sweetest of all person. So it is a natural inclination of everybody's heart and soul's nature is to serve the Supreme Lord. Itya Krishna Bhakti Sadhya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudhichitya Karayuti. That is verses there. That it is that love for the Lord is there in everybody's heart. It is not that only Hare Krishna people love Krishna. Before Hare Krishna movement was there, that innate desire was there, and when the movement came, that innate desire manifested. That's all. So this is inherent in everybody's heart. This is like intrinsic nature of all heart, all soul to serve the Supreme Lord. And because you're trying to check it, because of the anarthas, we cannot experience that sweetness in servitude. So the Aditya Acharya, especially this gift is so great, he has come to give us this gift of service to the Supreme Lord, which we have practically forgotten. He says, love for Krishna has this one unique effect. What is the effect? It imbues superiors, equals and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord. Somebody may be superior to Krishna, like Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai. They are the parents, the father and mother of the Supreme Lord, but they also want to serve Krishna. The equal, they also serve Krishna. The juniors, the inferiors, they also serve Krishna. So that is the unique effect of love of Krishna. Everybody wants to serve him. It is explained that Nanda Maharaj is speaking to Uddhava in one of the verse. My dear Uddhava, please hear me. In truth, Krishna is my son. But even if you think that he is God, I would still bear toward him my own feelings for my son. May my mind be attracted to your Lord Krishna. He says, it's your Lord Krishna, but for him, for me, he is my son, and I have to serve him in that way, as a father. So he may be your Lord, but he is my son. I won't consider. I have to serve in that capacity. The service attitude is there. May our minds be attached to the lotus feet of your Lord Krishna. He's saying again. May our minds be attached to the lotus feet of your Lord Krishna. May our tongues chant his holy names and may our bodies be prostrate before him. Wherever we wander in the material universe under the influence of karma by the will of the Lord, may our auspicious activities cause our attraction to Lord Krishna to increase. I'll read it again. Wherever we wander in the material universe, wherever we may be, under the influence of karma, that is because of our karma, we go to places from here and there. By the will of the Lord, may our auspicious activities cause our attraction to Lord Krishna to increase. That is the prayer of Nanda Maharaj. So in this way, many devotees express how they want to serve the Supreme Lord. In the Dwaraka Dham, all the queens headed by Rukmini also considered themselves maid servants of Lord Krishna. So like that, even Lord Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu, they also serve Lord Krishna in that way. So what to speak of others, even Lord Krishna himself becomes thirsty to taste his own sweetness. He tries to taste his own sweetness, but he cannot do so without accepting the emotions of a devotee. So devotee, by serving Lord, will experience the sweetness. So when the Lord wants to experience the same sweetness, he has to accept the role of a devotee. So he becomes his own devotee. Therefore, Lord Krishna accepted the position of a devotee and descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who is complete in every respect. So in this way, we see how Advaita Acharya's contribution is, he comes to teach us devotional service, the service to the Supreme Lord, and in that way bestows all the divine qualities in us, protects the divine qualities in us, and annihilates the demoniac qualities. So I'll just read from a few more pages. Should I do or should I stop? Because today is appearance day, we can take a little more extra time. Fasting also. So in this chapter called Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stay at the house of Advaita Acharya. In this chapter, that servitude attitude is exhibited by Advaita Acharya. He says, he proclaims that he is appeared as servant of Lord Chaitanya, but in this chapter it is explained how he has done that service. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the room, actually it happens like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes sannyas and he returns to the house of Advaita Acharya at Santipur. And there he says, because you are sannyas, you are fasting for so many days, I have prepared some very simple food for you, please come to my house. And Lord Chaitanya is so simple, that simplicity, that divine quality, only simplicity. He comes to his house because he thinks that he is inviting me just to take some boiled vegetable. And there he sees that Advaita Acharya actually cooked many, many items. The Krishnadas Kaviraja Goswami is actually explaining all these items in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many items. And again in between he says, I cannot describe all of them. Again he describes. Again he says, I cannot describe. Again he describes. Like that he goes on. So many items. Many verses just describe the items. Hundreds of items. So Advaita Acharya has actually, and his wife, Sita Devi, Sita Thakur, and together they cooked an entire big feast. And the room was filled. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered that room and he saw three divisions of food. And he knew that all of these were meant for Krishna. However, he did not understand the intention of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya actually wanted Lord Chaitanya to eat that. But he is so simple, he is thinking, oh, he has invited me to give some boiled vegetables and these are for Krishna. He is thinking like that. Then Advaita Acharya invites him to sit down for take prasad. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, let us sit down in these three places and we shall take prasadam. However, Advaita Acharya said, I shall distribute the prasadam. You sit down. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that all these servings were meant for distribution. He thought whatever he has cooked and displayed is for distribution to others. He was thinking like that. Simplicity is exhibited in a supreme way. And therefore, he asked for another two banana leaves, plain leaves he asked. Serve us some little bit, just you can distribute. Let us have a very little quantity of vegetable and rice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said like that. But then Advaita Acharya requests him that all these things, that no need of any leaf plates, you can eat directly from whatever is served here. There is no need to bring any leaf plates. You sit down straight. He says, please eat, please start eating. Then Mahaprabhu says, how can I eat so much food? Then he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I will not be able to eat so much food, and it is not the duty of sannyasi to leave remnants. Advaita Acharya says, you eat as much as you can, leave the remnants. Then Mahaprabhu says, it is not the duty of a sannyasi to leave remnants. And Prabhupada quotes a purport. Whatever edibles a sannyasi gets from householder's house, he should take outside near some lake or river, and after offering the food to Vishnu, Brahma and Sun, three divisions, he should eat the entire offering and not leave anything for others to eat. So that's how the sannyasi behavior is. So he was saying. But then other Acharya said, because you are Supreme Lord, at Jagannath and Jagannath Puri, you are eating 54 times a day. It is explained in Jagannath Puri, they offer so much bhoga to Jagannath out of love, that there is no time that Jagannath's hand is not wet. It is always, because he is washing his hand again, and before it dries up, again another food comes. Again he eats, again he washes his hand like that. It goes on for throughout the day. So Aditya Acharya said that Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are identical. Aditya Acharya pointed out that at Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate 54 items every day. And each time he ate many hundreds of pots of food. My great fortune, you have just come by to my home. Please do not juggle words. Just begin eating and do not talk. So in this way, he requested with love, with forceful love. And the Lord started eating. And whenever the pot would be half filled, he would immediately fill it again, pack it again. So in this way, the Lord stayed at his house for 10 days and the Chachi Mata comes. There's a beautiful kirtan, like devotees who are doing kirtan, and that kirtan where Mahaprabhu was himself present, you can understand what kind of madness must be there. It is explained that this kirtan was so nice, these devotees were so much intoxicated by the love of God that they would not feel any fatigue or pain. So before I close, I'd like to just speak a few words about our Stoka Krishna Prabhu, who left on this very day, few years back. And also our mother of Shamcharan Prabhu, Radha Shakti Mataji. She also left this very same day. So this love of God, the service to Krishna, when one develops, divine qualities develops, then love of Krishna develops in heart. And then Aditya Acharya actually helps such people very happily to send them back to Krishna's abode. So it is, we have experienced in this modern world also, we have seen wherever there is love, one can endure difficulties or pain. If there is love, one can endure. Some people may be living in very simple, relatively poverty-stricken houses, but if there is loving dealings in the house, then one can sustain happily. But there may be big house, big facilities, but there is no loving dealings, there is no love, then one cannot endure difficulties or pain. One is always disturbed. So, when one develops love of Krishna, the more the intense is the love, its transcendental nature, it is pure, pure love, then one can experience or one can endure any kind of difficulties in this world. So we have seen in this life of Stoka Krishna Prabhu at least, even Radha Shakti Mata, she was also suffering from, both of them suffering from cancer. It was a very, very painful situation. There are so many devotees in Hare Krishna movement. Like His Holiness Radha Swami was saying, Kunti Mataji, who was in New Vrindavan, she also had this cancer and she was in so much pain and she could not hold a book, Srila Prabhupada's book, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. She didn't have strength to hold a book to read through it. Somebody presented her a computer where she can just push the key and the pages will scroll. Just by receiving that gift, she became so happy. She said, now I can read. It is like as if I am hearing, just like Parikshit Maharaj heard from Sukadeva Goswami at the Bank of Ganges. I feel like sitting on the Bank of Ganges and hearing Srila Prabhupada from these books. Although she was in so much pain, just by this little gift, and you know, in that pain, she was experiencing a higher happiness and therefore able to tolerate. Similarly, Stoka Krishna Prabhu also, we saw him, we met him. Towards the last part of his lifetime, he had all these beautiful divine qualities, so happy, so blissful, although he was in that tremendous pain of this cancer disease. So, through their examples, through our live experience, we have witnessed that how, if one develops these transcendental qualities, divine qualities, and develops love for Krishna, one can tolerate the onslaughts of the miseries of this world. And quickly, Krishna says, within one lifetime, one can perfect his life and go back home, back to Godhead. So I really thank all of you for tolerating throughout this session. It's quite late. And I'm grateful to all of you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Advaita Acharya, Avirbhav Divas ki, Sto Krishna Prabhu ki, Radha Shakti Mataji ki, Daigar Pemanande, Hari Hari Bo, Hare Krishna. Thank you.